It really is incredible to see all of these mega corporations, like for example, Amazon and countless others, really throwing their support behind this this situation, this what is unfolding before our eyes. All the celebrities, I mean, a lot of politicians, everyone is really throwing their support behind this. And we're seeing the police departments being defunded and in some cases dismantled. And now today, the United Nations, a UN panel, has demanded that the US take immediate action to eliminate structural racism in the police system. This is what the UN panel is saying. And we've seen George Floyd's family petition the United Nations to disarm the police here in the US, to have the UN disarm US police, which is unbelievable to me. And we know that Floyd was killed by the police. He wasn't shot by the police, but yet they're calling for disarmament. Now, I can't help but think that this is playing right into a pre-planned agenda as everything lines up. Maybe something like the Strong Cities Network. I mean, what is your take on defunding the police, and what would be their alternative to the police?
This whole, institutional racism is a it's merely a an excuse to destroy literally the minds. Mao used it. Mao Zedong used this. Of course, it was used by Stalin. It was used by the Nazis. It's a technique that's used to break down your personality and actually rebuild you as the new man. And you are going to be rebuilt as the new global citizen.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Today, I have a special guest who many viewers have been requesting. My guest is the executive director of the Post Sustainability Institute. She's also a retired forensic commercial real estate advisor, specializing in eminent domain valuation. She served as a district branch chief of the for the California Department of Transportation for nearly 30 years. Her career in litigation support on land use has culminated in exposing the impacts of sustainable development on private property rights and individual liberty. Rosa Khoury is an author and a public speaker who has spoken across the world. You can find her work on our website, democratsagainstunagenda21.com. Very happy to welcome the author of Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, Rosa Khoury. Ms. Khoury, thank you for taking the time to be here today.
My pleasure.
Now, you were considered to be a top expert on Agenda 21, and your work has been invaluable in bringing this UN agenda to light. Now, for those of you, the viewers out there who may not exactly know what Agenda 21 is, could you please provide us a brief overview of this program?
Sure. Agenda 21 is the action plan. It's the blueprint, the comprehensive plan that was signed on to by 178 nations plus the Holy See in 1992. It's the United Nations plan. And it's a plan to inventory and control all land, water, plants, minerals, construction, means of production, food, energy, everything on the planet, law enforcement, education, and of course, information and human beings. So this is, a comprehensive plan of action, an inventory and control plan. It's about data sharing. It's about money transferring from the developed nations to the lesser developed nations. And ultimately, it's about destroying your ability to have a voice, destroying your ability to have representative government. It's about changing your government to governance and taking away your voice, giving your entirely destroying your ability to be free and to be independent. And the goal, of course, is to transfer power from local and individuals to a global governance system. So you can't do that all at once, and it's been a long process. And you see it as exactly what you're seeing right now. It's a plan to disrupt and destroy the existing system. It's a plan of transformation and control. And that's what we're living through right now.
I would have to agree that it is absolutely taking place right now, and many people may not be very familiar with Agenda 21, despite the fact that this has been around for some time and it's taking place right now. But I would say that maybe more people might be f more familiar, for example, with the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, because we've seen all of the celebrities championing this, and both of these programs are UN programs. What is the difference, if any, between Agenda 21 and the 2030 Agenda?
Well, Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. And of course, you know that the century is 100 years long. And so Agenda 2030 is a 30-year milestone within the Agenda 21 plan. So I really think this is a public relations sort of end game around those of us who've been really alerting the public to Agenda 21. Because now that they're saying, well, Agenda 21 has been replaced by Agenda 2030, there's so much great information out there about Agenda 21 that they're trying to divert you from focusing on Agenda 21. Now, if you know, when you know that Agenda 2030 is simply a milestone year within that 100-year period, the milestone years are 2020, 2025, 2030, and 2050. They really fully expect to have this entire plan locked up and completed by 2050. If you go to America2050.org, which is a Ford Foundation and Rockefeller Foundation project, you'll get a look at what their idea is for in fact, what they want the United States to devolve into, which is to destroy the sense of having a unified union and to, in fact, not have 50 states any longer, to have 11 mega regions. And in fact, what this plan does is it destroys the concept of the nation state. And it completely destroys it and devolves it into the city states or regions. And these are not, you know, like individual cities like, say, San Francisco or New York. These are regions that are governed by mega cities, which are huge, enormous cities. It could be part of Washington State, part of Oregon, part of Idaho, and part of British Columbia. So it breaks the national borders. It breaks state borders, breaks, of course, county and city borders. And this is about destroying your ability to actually be able to control what it is that happens to you. It's a plan that is actually, it's a global plan, but they implement it locally. So it looks like a local plan. It's always called different things, no matter where you live. So that's another way of being a stealth plan, you see, is that you'll never see it called Agenda 21. It's always called something else. And it's right there in your town. It's a regional plan, and it's right there where you live right now.
Now, typically, they do call it some type of sustainable development, or at least to try to a green new something. You know, it's for the betterment of, you know, mankind, of course. And they always try to seem. It seems like they're packaging this agenda around the climate initiative. You know, like the global. First, it was global warming. Then it's global cooling. Now it's just climate change. And so what is your take really on, you know, the climate crisis in general? Is there a real man-made climate change issue that is going to wipe out humanity if we don't obey and follow their new paradigm of global governance? Or is that just being used as a front to usher in this new system?
Yeah, let me just say, since I think I haven't mentioned this, is that sustainable development is Agenda 21. It was defined by the United Nations in a book that they commissioned called Our Common Future in 1987. So sustainable development, of course, everybody thinks it's, you know, it's so good. It's got those buzzwords. It sounds so cool. And so as far as climate change goes, you know, as I say, if they could have arranged an alien landing, you know, they would have done that because, you know, and of course, COVID-19, this is, you know, this is a way to, well, here's a way to think of it. Global crisis requires a global response, and that justifies global governance. So what's, you know, what could be more global, you think, than climate change? Well, how about a pandemic? So this is, you know, kind of the way that, and the other thing is that it's designed to panic people. It's designed to engage you in a really visceral way, to frighten you to the point where you are literally concerned that you will not survive. And of course, COVID-19 takes it, you know, to the next level. But, you know, that's the purpose of this thing, whether there's actually, you know, of course, the climate is always changing, certainly. But whether, you know, whether this is, you know, something imminent or whatever, it's irrelevant, actually, because the thing is so powerful and so useful that it would have been invented regardless.
Now, Ms. Corey, I'm sure that you have seen the World Economic Forum come out recently and announce their Great Reset Initiative, coupled with the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Now, what was your initial reaction to seeing them come out and boldly proclaim that we need this great reset because of this series of crisis that we have taking place. Because it seems like as of the beginning of 2020, they have really accelerated their agenda. What does the great reset mean in your view, and what stage of the rollout are we in, would you say?
Well, I have to say I've been really concerned and saddened in a deep sense to see this, because I really thought we had more time. And I don't want to be a person who's an alarmist. I think this is really a very serious moment that we're in. This is one reason why I called my book Behind the Green Mask, because they stay behind that green mask. They don't want to take that mask off, because once the mask is off, you know, then the boots and the jack boots and the, you know, the truncheons come out. And I guess I'm concerned mainly because it looks like we're really getting to that point. And the other thing that happens when they reveal their plans, quite, you know, the plans are always right out there. You know, they've always been right out there. In fact, you could go back to the 1880s and look at the Fabian Socialists at Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells, at George Bernard Shaw. And you'll see the plan is right there. There's no question about it. And it's just been, they've been refining it with the ability that they're getting with technology. And I think that is really where we're at now, is that they're less concerned about us. They're less concerned about our objection. And that is what concerns me, is that the less concerned they are, it's sort of a message to us that, yeah, we're not really, you know, we're not really concerned to them. So therefore, you know, it makes me think, you know, maybe we're at that point where there's not much we can do. But I think really there is still a lot that we can do. And I do want to talk about that. But what is happening now is that the technology has caught up to the plans of these people. They've always had these same plans. And I will say that as far as technology goes, what has man always wanted? Man has always wanted two main things: to live forever and to create life. And we are very close to these things. I don't know about forever, but we're close to major life extension and the creation of life. All you have to do is go to Cornell University's plan. They've got a video out right now. It's engineers create three major traits of life. Go and take a look at that. They are actually creating life. So, and there is no ethical stop on these people. And that is a major concern. This is, you know, what you saw with the Nazis, with Stalin, with Mao, that there is literally nothing that holds these people back. So when they have the technological ability, and, you know, you look at the fourth industrial revolution or whatever it is they want to call it, they're talking about total digital connectivity. They're talking about a new social contract. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but a contract generally means that both parties have, you know, something to say about it. But this is a contract where, you know, none of us have anything to say. And I think we're getting to see what it looks like when you go out in the street, you see. And this is one reason why this is all, you know, we can talk about this when we get more deeply into it. But this is one reason why you're seeing this kind of hysteria in the street, because it's a lesson. And it is a notification to us. This is what's going to happen to you if you go out into the street and try and object to this plan when you see what it really is. So they are gearing up for this with the militarization of police, et cetera.
Now, you mentioned earlier about, you know, the U.S., for example, and in order for this agenda to succeed, the U.S. and the Constitution, it appears, would have to be either severely altered or eliminated for this to be successful. Now, yeah. In light of that, what do you make of these events that we're seeing unfold right now with the coronavirus that we mentioned earlier and the civil unrest with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter taking to the streets and taking over entire portions of cities at this point, like we see in Seattle and they're attempting to do in Portland? Is this an organized effort to destabilize and overthrow the U.S.? Because it sure feels like it at this point.
Yeah. And I want to say, you know, most of us think that the Constitution of the United States is a great document and is inviolate. That is not the case. Right now, there's been a real effort for many years to have a constitutional convention. You're probably aware of that. It needs, I can't recall the exact number of states. I think it's 38 states to agree to it. And once, and they say that, you know, they're not going to, you know, they're just going to look at a couple of, you know, a couple of portions of the Constitution. But once that box has been opened, they can do anything. So, you know, people often want to know, well, who's doing it to me? It is your government. that's doing it to you. Your government has been taken over. And to answer your question, yes, this is an insurrection. It is, you know, it's being, we have been under attack. I hate to say this, you know, hey, I've identified as a so-called liberal Democrat, you know, since I started, you know, before I could vote and all of that. You know, it sounds like a conservative position. I don't know what it is. It's real. This is a real situation that we're in. Of course, I do want to say I did walk away from the Democrat Party. But, you know, and parties are simply a distraction at the top. Power knows no party. The globalist takeover is simply that. It uses whatever means necessary. And so the plan is really to, you know, this term disrupt that everyone's seeing now, this is really the plan, is to destroy the social social fabric. It's quite successful as you're seeing it right now. And yes, the United States is a huge economic force and a huge force and beacon to the world for individual rights and freedom, liberty, which is under attack, definitely. And it is a target. There is no question about that. So, you know, yes, I do think we're in an extremely dangerous situation right now. And part of the reason why it is so dangerous is because it is supported by civil society, by universities, by foundations, by business organizations, by public sector agencies. This is a plan for governance. And so all of those parties who have been, of course, indoctrinated since, you know, for the entire time that they were in university and prior, you know, pre-kindergarten to postgraduate school, this is designed to utilize, to activate those change agents. That's really what the word change is really about. It is an activation of agents for change, and that is not a positive thing for the union of the United States.
It really is incredible to see all of these mega corporations, like, for example, Amazon and countless others, really throwing their support behind this this situation, this what is, you know, unfolding before our eyes. All the celebrities, I mean, a lot of politicians, everyone is really throwing their support behind this. And, you know, we're seeing the police departments being defunded and in some cases, yeah, dismantled. And now today, the United Nations, a UN panel, has demanded that the U.S. take immediate action to eliminate structural racism in the police system. This is what the UN panel is saying. And we've seen George Floyd's family petition the United Nations to disarm the police here in the U.S., to have the UN disarm U.S. police, which is unbelievable to me. You know, and we know that Floyd was killed by the police. He wasn't shot by the police, but yet they're calling for disarmament. Now, I can't help but think that this is playing right into a pre-planned agenda. As everything lines up, maybe something like the Strong Cities Network. I mean, what is your take on defunding the police? And what would be their alternative to the police?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is so fascinating. And it's, you know, I mean, if you weren't living it, it would just be such an interesting little thriller to be watching. You know, because this is really about community-oriented policing, which is the panopticon, which makes you the cop on the beat. You are responsible for keeping your eyes on everything and reporting. See something, say something. And, you know, of course, they're talking about transformative new model of public policing or something like that, of public safety, I think they call it. And whenever you see that term transform, I want you to know transform is a term that's used. It's a jargon term, and it's used. It's an Agenda 21 term. So transformative learning, when you see it in the educational system, you're going to see it in your policing system, is really about, you're not going to believe this, or you probably will. It's about breaking down the individual. It's about breaking down your alliance to any old system, any old connection, your family, your old thoughts, your belief system. It's literally makes you into a patient. This is a mental health technique that destroys your, it actually breaks you down. It's a breakdown and then build back up of the personality. And this is what they intend to do with police officers. So in other words, this whole, you know, institutional racism is a, it's merely a an excuse to destroy literally the minds. You know, Mao used it. Mao Zedong used this. Of course, it was used by Stalin. It was used by the Nazis. It's a technique that's used to break down your personality and actually rebuild you as the new man. And you are going to be rebuilt as the new global citizen. So your police force will be rebuilt as people who literally cannot put their hand on their gun. And, you know, what I can see happening here is that, you know, I happen to be in Mexico right now, and this is a country that is run by the cartels. Literally, you saw this when López Obrador basically let El Chapo's son go. You know, he said, well, hey, they probably threatened his life. The cartels have more power than the government. Okay, so what happens in a country like the United States where they don't really quite yet? Then you have militarization of the police, or you have replacement of the police force with your full intelligence community and military force. And this is dangerous. This is going to be dangerous. The other thing is, and I want to talk about this, is artificial intelligence. Of course, we need to talk about that. What's happening, whether in your virtual and physical life. And so when you have a police force that is made up of non-humans, then, it's coming. And you have it with drones, et cetera, which are directed by humans, but at a certain point, they will not be. Then you're going to have a real dangerous situation, obviously. I don't have to lay it out for you, where you're not able to reason with a human being. And this is actually a two-part plan. You see, it's a plan to destroy your existing police force on the ground, who lives in your neighborhood probably and knows you, and or at least knows your area. And then you're going to be replacing that with something very, very different.
Yeah, it certainly is shocking how quickly this is rolling out. It seems like they pressed the initiate play button, as soon as 2020 hit, even though this has been a long-standing agenda that, as you pointed out, has been incrementally taking place, and conditioning the public to accept the coming transitions. And as you pointed out, AI, absolutely, you're absolutely right about AI police. New Zealand just recently launched the first ever AI police officer. They have it right now in New Zealand. It's essentially a kiosk where you can walk up and talk to and interact with. And we've seen the robots from Boston Dynamics and DARPA and everything like that. And they're already using some of these robots in Singapore, for example, to enforce the social distancing. Right. So this is just happening quickly. They're conditioning us, getting us ready for these transitions. And, you talk about how now they were waiting for the technology to catch up with their program, and how Agenda 21 is the inventory and control program of every aspect on life. And they're basically this transition. We're transitioning into a new digitalized system where everything will be monitored and tracked and traced on the blockchain, and everything will be essentially tokenized. And so it really is like this is a technocratic plan of a takeover operation that Eisenhower warned us of, on his farewell speech. Beware of the scientific dictatorship, essentially. And here we are living it right now. And we always hear about, we see it. It's an anti-human agenda, essentially, where they're looking to merge man with machine. And we always hear about the depopulation aspect of that. How does that play into all of this as well, in your view?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say, basically when you have de facto martial law, everyone is the enemy. And that's what you have with COVID-19. Everyone is the enemy. You have literally lost your trust for anyone, even your closest family members. So, this is a way to break down society. It's a way to break down mental health. And this is also, health is a very vital part of this plan, because, of course, collecting your DNA, this is a plan to inventory and control everything, including your DNA, the Human Genome Project, to be able to actually control life. You can make life, you can actually destroy life. And going back to, of course, the 1880s and the Fabian Socialists, the eugenics plan, this is not something that went away. This plan, the idea that you can actually make the human race better. And consequently, you're going to have to get rid of anyone who does not make the human race better. And that, of course, ties in with your social credit score and whether you're worth it, whether you have value. And, this has already been, happening in the university systems, which are, basically designed to search for anyone who does offer value and to offer them a free ride and, in exchange for research. And then everyone else just pays and is indoctrinated and indebted. This is, you know, the design of the system right now. It's already doing that. So yes, that, you know, this is the way it's set up, is that whether you, you know, whether you're worth it or not, it's, you know, going to be determined through your, you know, your credit score. And then all of this is, you know, technologically possible now. So this is the design of the plan. And yes, it's, you know, so some people, of course, you know, the sperm count is down and, you know, people are have, of course, you know, women have children later. This is, okay, so when you're looking at the Sustainable Development Goals, all right, Agenda 2030 has, what is it, 17 Sustainable Development Goals. In 2015, the Millennium Development Goals, there were 8 Millennium Development Goals. This is, you know, it's a very, I think it's a very Chinese model. If you look at the Chinese model, you know, to number things, you know, the thousand flowers, all the, you know, they always number things. So is this a Chinese plan? No, it's not. But the Chinese are certainly a part of this and did agree to Agenda 21 and also agreed to work on a depopulation vaccine with the United States back in the 1990s. So have they, how far have they proceeded with that? We don't know. So depopulation is, of course, a vital part of the plan, because the plan moves you out of the rural and suburban areas into the dense city centers where you can be more easily managed, controlled, and surveilled. And, of course, these cities are not capable of literally holding that many people. So the design of the plan is to, you know, make it so that they can hold as many people as possible to, you know, increase the, and I want to say that your buildings are very important to this plan. Smart cities, the Strong Cities Network, all of this, you know, you can look at Alphabet and their Sidewalk Labs, which is Quayside, they were trying to do in Toronto, which was about, you know, literally tracking every aspect of your life, building a city from the ground up. This is the goal, to have, to, you are living within a panopticon. That is the design of this plan, is literally to take your freedom completely away from you. And I'm not talking about some plan that's way out there in a, you know, in the future. I am talking about this is happening right now. And yes, it's about depopulation, because you know what? You are just not worth it. You use too much. You are taking up too much room. You're using too, this is what, you know, this is what the climate change thing is all about. You are using too much energy, too much water, and too much land. And you need to be isolated and moved into the high density city center where you can be more easily controlled and managed and surveilled. And that is what this is doing to you right now. So, you know, it's not like this plan is out there in 2030 or 2050. 2020 is a really important year. A lot of these plans, when you look at your regional plan for your area, a lot of these plans are named your town, whatever the name is, 2020. Because 2020 is a key year in the implementation of this plan.
Absolutely, I'd have to agree with you on that. And when we see, you know, people obviously get very caught up in the divide and conquer tactics and strategies, and we're so busy fighting about left or right or Trump or whoever, and you know, and the same thing applies geopolitically as well. It's like, oh, China's the bad guy or Russia's the bad guy or whoever, when, as you pointed out, these countries have all signed on to the same game plan for global governance. And these groups like the World Economic Forum have been deciding what the future of humanity looks like for you and for me and for us. And it doesn't look very human at all. And we have no say, according to them, at this point. So this is extremely important information that is taking, you know, place right now. And I would like to end today's discussion with possible solutions. Like, what can people do? You've had some success in this area, actually defeating Agenda 21 in some areas. What can you tell us about that? And what should people be doing right now to resist?
Well, I think, you know, this is my sort of my watchword is awareness is the first step in the resistance, and action is the second step. And I think it's really important that that people understand that we are being we're being conditioned to be passive right now. We're being conditioned to click a like and think that that means that we're a political activist. And it does not mean that. You are not a political activist if you don't leave your house. You need to leave your house. And
but the lockdowns.
That's right. I know. And plus, your government has now gone virtual, where, you know, you can't used to be. Now, I know most of you don't even know where you're. I don't mean to insult you, but let me insult you here. You don't even know where your city council meets. You think it doesn't matter. But those are the people who make the rules that you live under right there in your town. And you better believe it does matter. And don't tell me that your government is so bad that, you know, that you can't do anything about it. That it sure looks like that. But the thing is that you've let it get that way. And if you continue to let it get that way, it ain't going to get better. So what you need to do is actually occupy your government to, you know, to take a term that, you know, I think was really misused, to actually go and be a part, be your government. If you can, you know, now, yeah, we're in the end game here. There's not a lot of time left. So, you know, you should have been doing this a while ago. But the thing is that you need to know what Agenda 21 looks like. And you need to recognize it so that when you see it in your city, you can go and talk about it. You can, first of all, get yourself elected. You can run for office and not get elected, but talk about it. You can stand, you know, up in your city council. Every single item on that agenda is probably related to Agenda 21, if you know what you're looking for. And I actually tell you how to find that. You know, you can look at my websites, you can look at my book where I tell you how to actually take down their Delphi meetings, where they're manipulating public opinion so that you won't make trouble for them. Because really, they don't want you to make trouble. They're hoping that they don't have to bring out the cops. So they're really wanting to, you know, keep you in your seat and keep you at home quiet. So that's what you don't want to be, is the person who sits at home. So you want to take this on. You want to spread this information. You can do it with flyers. You can do it with mailers. You can spend a little money. You can make some videos. You can share them with people. You can share these videos with people and then decide what kind of action you're going to take. Because just knowing without doing something about it is simply not enough at this time. So you have to become more politically active and more willing to not be a first adopter of many of their stuff. You're going to see virtual reality. That's going to replace your reality. It's going to be so much better. You're going to be able to eat virtually, do some pretty fun stuff, if you get my meaning, virtually. And everybody's going to want to do it. Once you do that, your life is over. And so you're going to want to, you know, you're going to want this stuff. They're making it so that you want it. So you're going to ask for it. You have to resist that. Resist it in yourself. Plus, take a look at yourself. What do you do for a living? Are you a change agent? Are you an organizational manager? Are you working for the city or the state or the feds or the county? What are you doing? Are you part of this plan? Are you a planner? Are you part of this plan? Are you a university professor? Don't be like Brett Weinstein, who up there in Evergreen College, who, you know, all of a sudden he's like, oh no, they're attacking me. It's like, yeah, dude, what have you been doing all these years? You've been teaching them this stuff. You know, if you are participating in this plan, withdraw your support. Withdraw your financial support, your political support, and your social support. Have some guts, because that's what it takes. People aren't going to like you, but you need to do it. Wherever you work, wherever you are, you need to talk about this. If you're in a government meeting, if you're a manager at some supermarket, you want to talk about this in your management meeting. You talk about this everywhere. Tell people about this plan. It is a real, actual thing that is right there in your city, right now on the shelf, being enacted right now on you. We don't have time now, but if this Agenda 21 is not like Wikipedia tells you, it's not an involuntary, non-binding plan. This is a plan that is binding on you. It was brought into the United States 1992, and the whole clue, you know, that you're going to get is that the federal government enacted it. So, and it's gone down into the states and cities. So it's a real plan. It's really there in your town. So, you know what? Let's participate together. Let's fight this together. We can do it. We have had some successes. But you know what? We need more. We have to fight this together, all of us, and resist.
Well said. I mean, it's taking place, unfolding right now. And I can't thank you enough for the great work that you're doing to help bring this to light. I'd also like to thank all of the viewers out there who watch and share this information, share these reports. And like Miss Corey said, you know, get out there, get involved, start attending some city council meetings. Listen to what these people are saying. And if they are saying some things that, you know, ring sound off an alarm in your head. Maybe you should speak up, you know, and let others in your communities know, because this is I've been all over this country. I've been to several different countries around the world, and I've seen it. You see it taking place, even through you know, like the federal government funding road maintenance in your towns. It fall yeah. under some of the sustainable development programs.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is ingrained into every little aspect, and they're selling it to better, you know, the world and the environment and you know, everything like that. But this is an anti-human agenda that is taking place right now, and this is a dark road that we do not want to continue down, this road of tyranny, in my view. I encourage everyone to make your way over to Rosa Corey's websites, Democrats Against UN Agenda 21 and the Post Sustainability Institute. I'll make sure I leave links to all of your social media accounts, Ms. Corey, as well as a link to your book, Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21. Ms. Rosa Corey, thank you so much for being my guest today. This is extremely important information, and I really respect the work that you're doing. And to me, it's people like you who are the real heroes. It's not these celebrities out there or these athletes, you know, all this kind of garbage out there. It's people like you who are making a difference, who are doing things to affect real change. Do you have any final points you'd like to share, Ms. Rosa Corey?
Yeah, I do want to say that we all have to be heroes. I'm just like everybody else. We just all have to do it. You've got to take it on. And, you know, we can do it, but we have to do it together, united. We can do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Rosa Corey, thank you so much.
Thank you.